Would you open up in your Bibles with me this morning to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15? And if you'd also find then verse 13. We have a tradition here in that we stand for the reading of God's Word. Would you join me in standing for the reading? John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Let's pray. Father God, we ask that you would teach us the love of God today through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. That you would teach us from the words that he uttered from that cross. That you would teach us how to walk in love. That there's no greater power, there's no greater truth, there's no greater reality, there's no greater treasure than love. Teach us this greater love today, not just so that we would have the knowledge of it, so that we could be doers of it, that we would be doers of your word and not hearers only, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We're going to go through every word that Jesus spoke from the cross today. When Karl Barth retired, this famous theologian, in his latter years, he visited an American theological school. One of the students asked him, "How would you characterize your theology, Dr. Barth?" Barth thought for a moment and said that his answer was a song that he learned at his mother's knee. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the, you can help me, Bible tells me so. Little ones to him, they are weak, but he is strong. Let's go ahead. Yes. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Today we'll examine the recorded words of Christ from the cross. Vance Havner approached the sayings of Christ on the cross from this position. He said, in dying, Christ provided an example for my living. So in Luke 23, the first words that we hear from Jesus in verse 34 sets the tone for everything else that's going to happen after this. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. The forgiveness of God precedes even our desire and our ability to repent. God's forgiveness of sins through Christ's death, His burial and resurrection is the basis for all forgiveness, even between people. Love's greatest response to offense is, Father, forgive them. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is teaching the church at Ephesus and he says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. In John chapter 19, we see this very, very human moment with Christ on the cross as he looks down and he sees his mother. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother, verse 26 records, and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Now, we see a couple of things here. One, that being arrested, being convicted, and ultimately being crucified,
did not catch Jesus off guard. As a matter of fact, he was predicting what would happen. He told his disciples, even on the night that he was betrayed, that this will be the last time we share a meal together. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be crucified. And even on the cross, this isn't about his pain. It's not about his suffering. It's not about himself. But he's even thought to the most minute detail. I need somebody to take care of my mother now. And John, you're the guy. This is your mother, and this is your son. I don't know what you're going through today, but it may seem like an insignificant detail to you, but I promise it's not an insignificant detail to Jesus. When he was dying on the cross, he had you in mind. In Luke 23, we have this very interesting dialogue going on. One of the criminals who were being hanged, blaspheming, began to blaspheme Christ, saying, "If you're the Christ, save yourself and save us." And the other one on his other side answered and rebuked him. He said, "Do you not even fear God, seeing that you're under this same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we are receiving due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then the criminal said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." You see, Jesus didn't go through this horrifying death just to abandon you in your hour of greatest need. "You will be with me" is perhaps the greatest promise Jesus can give to any one of us. From the cross, Jesus taught us love for God is most often acted out in love for other people. When they asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" And this is the verse. These are the two verses that we try to form and fashion and follow after as a church. This is it. Jesus said, "The first commandment is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. It's this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. So when Jesus is dying on the cross, one is mocking him and just scowling at him, making fun of him. "I mean, I thought you were this holy man. I mean, you're God. You can do anything. You know, rescue me, rescue yourself." And the other, and I'm telling you, that's the way sinners respond to Jesus. They respond in, "This is a joke. This is nonsense." Or they respond as the other criminal: "I deserve to be here. I deserve to be punished. Lord, if there's any chance for me, remember me." And Jesus said these most powerful words: "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Jesus' words were validated by Jesus' actions on the cross. Jesus said, "You shall love God and love other people." But our text this morning from John 15 was this: "Greater love has no man than this, than one would lay down his life for his friends." Jesus is validating his words with actions. I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of people tell me throughout my lifetime that they loved me. But by their actions, it didn't really validate those words. By what they said about me behind my back, what they did to me, what they didn't do for me that they promised that they would. Their words did not, you know, line up with their actions. But Jesus' actions speak louder than his words. He said greater love. has no one than this, then one would lay down his life, and here he is. And the second thing, he said, would lay down his life for his friends. He called this criminal, who's being crucified for who knows what actions and dirty deeds and no good stuff that he had performed in his life, and Jesus called him a friend. This action proves that it's never too late to start following Jesus. I'm going to tell you two very personal stories right now. They have to do with my grandparents, my grandfathers. Neither of whom would you have ever called a righteous man. One, you know, had his own particular set of sins, and the other had a other particular set of sins, but they were sort of notorious on either side. But when my grandpa Saunders was at home dying of cirrhosis of the liver, and he got it the old-fashioned way, but that was one of his sins. My whole life growing up, my grandma lived in the farmhouse by herself. My grandpa lived down in the village in a trailer with his mistress. They never divorced. But he came home to die in the farmhouse. And on his deathbed, he cried out. He said, "I'm no good. My grandma, the saint of God that she was," and she passed away last year at the age of 96, said, "It's not too late for you." And she led him to salvation just probably a couple of days before he died. My grandpa Kylie was home dying of cancer, my mother's father. And again, he was kind of a severe man. If you see photographs of him, you've never one time ever seen a smile on his face, even at weddings. All these wedding photos, you have all the family standing there smiling, everybody's having a good time, and my grandpa Kylie, just irritated that he had to be there. He had to leave the farm and leave his cows or whatever he had more important to do. But he was at home dying. And many of my family members by now had given their life to the Lord. I have uncles that did some lay preaching for the Methodist Church. And they decided somebody needs to talk to Daddy. That's what they called him. The children. He was Grandpa to me. Somebody needs to talk to him about his relationship with the Lord. I mean, he could die any day. And everybody was too scared to go talk to him. I said, "Well, I'll go." I mean, grandchildren don't have the same fear. I mean, he was never mean to me. I mean, he was, other than, you know, made fun of me when I was a little kid, like he did everybody else. I could tell you stories, but you don't want to hear all that. So I went and met with my grandfather and the lady that was living at the house with him at that time after my grandmother passed away. I said, "Grandpa, I'm going to talk to you about God. Is that okay?" "Yep." He real just one word answers. I said, "Well, you believe in God, right?" "Yep." I said, "Do you believe that Jesus is God's son?" "Yes." I said, "Do you believe that he lived a sinless life?" "Yes." "Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins and for my sins?" He said, "Yeah, I believe that." I said, "Do you believe that, you know, he rose again from the dead?" "Yes, I believe that." I said, "Well, good." I said, "Have you ever done anything about that?" "Nope." I said, you've never, you know, like repented of your sins and confessed Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life?" "No." I said, "Would you like to?" "Yeah." It was about this simple. I'm not making any of this up. This is how the conversation went. I said, "Well, okay. Would you like to pray or would you like for me to pray? And then you can follow along." He said, "Why don't you pray and I'll just repeat what you say." So we prayed. And he called on the name of the Lord Jesus. And a couple days later, he passed away. I'm just telling you, it's never too late for you to start following Jesus. When Jesus was at the moment where this is getting very serious, and he knows that death is approaching him very, very quickly. In Matthew 27, he begins to cry out, and you know that the earth became dark and the earth quaked. And Jesus, at that moment, when this obviously eclipse was happening and clouds were rolling in, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, Christ identifies with our abandonment. His Father is now abandoning him, turning his back on him. His closest followers had already done that in the night that Jesus was arrested. This whole gang, this whole crowd of soldiers came to arrest, this great multitude came to arrest Jesus. And, you know, at first they start to defend, but they realize that Jesus said, hey, put away your swords. Look, I could call out for even 10,000 angels to come and be rescued from this moment, but this is my time. And the Bible records for us these very, very sobering words that all of His disciples abandoned Him at that moment. You see, the pain and suffering that Jesus was going through physically turned into the agony of His Father's abandonment. But Jesus told us this in Mark chapter 10, for the Son of Man also came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. John 19 and verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. This is it. This is the moment. He said, I thirst. They offered Him cheap, sour wine. Let me tell you something. The world's solution to your problem today is always a cheap, unsatisfying substitute for the peace, love, and joy that only God can give to you. In verse 30, when he had received this sour wine, he said, it is finished. Bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. The powers of this world, motivated by Satan, had killed the Son of God. Satan's seeming victory became his greatest defeat. The death of the Lamb of God was God's plan for redeeming us to Himself. Christ's sacrificial death, this greater love that Jesus talked about, satisfied the requirement to remove our sins. This was not a statement of defeat. It's finished. It's over. It's useless. It's hopeless. That's not what Jesus said here. It is finished was a statement of victory. We would say it this way. Mission accomplished. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. Jesus, see, came to destroy the works of Satan. And nothing can keep you away from the love of God today except you. There's no outside force. There's nothing that you've done in your past. There's no current habit that you possess. There's no person. There's nothing that can keep you away from the love of God today except you. You can keep yourself away from God today. You can make a decision to walk away or even to mock as the one criminal did. But you see, Luke records it this way in Luke 23. When Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. God loves you so much that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. And like the thief on the cross, you can cry out to Jesus to save you. And I'm going to ask you a question. And when you die, and we all will face that at some point in the future, when you die, can you, like Jesus, confidently say, "Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit"? Do you have that confidence? Do you have that hope? Do you have that expectation in you that you can die confidently with those words? It's very simple today. It's believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. It's just crying out, "Lord, remember me." The only theology you'll probably ever really need to know for your whole life is, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong." Jesus said this, "If anybody wants to be part of my kingdom, he must humble himself and become like a little child. Follow me." In the end, Jesus decided it was better to be hated, spat on, tortured, scourged almost to death, otherwise treated brutally, and then murdered on a cross than to spend another moment without you. He loved you so much that He would die to be nearer to you. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Thinking about people in the room years ago, even decades ago now, on Easter, gave their life to Jesus Christ and said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you." And what a difference it's made in their life. You've got a choice today. There's two criminals on either side of Jesus, both deserving their punishment, their death sentence, representing all humanity, representing you, representing me. And you have a choice in your response to the one in the middle, the sinless Son of God, not deserving to be there, but there in our place. You can mock, you can jeer, you can ignore Him. Or you can say, "Remember me." Now, with every head bowed and eyes are closed, and everybody's thinking about their own life right now for just a moment before we dismiss, if you want to call in the name of the Lord Jesus and say, "Lord, remember me today," could you give me the privilege, the honor of leading you in prayer like I led my Grandpa Kylie in prayer so many years ago? Would you give me that honor and privilege today of leading you to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? If you're ready to say, "Lord, remember me," would you let me know by holding up your hand right now so I can include you in my prayer? Would you just go ahead and do that right now? I see hands on the ground floor right now. I say, "Lord, remember me." Yeah, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. See your hand. Yes. Looking up in the, yes, I see your hand. Looking just up in the balcony in the Cascades right now. Is there anybody upstairs? Yeah, I see your hand up there. It says, "Lord, remember me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to start following Jesus today." Anybody else right now? Just you're just struggling. Do I want to do this? Do I not want to do it? I've never met the person that regretted this decision yet. Never met the person that said, "Wow, man, I am so upset that I decided to start following Jesus with my life." But I've met hundreds, if not thousands, of people that said, If I knew life was going to be this good, following Jesus, I'd have done this so many years ago. I'd avoided so much trouble in my life. Last time, looking around the room, everybody that's held up their hand, you can put your hand down. But if you want to start following Jesus today, would you hold up your hand right now? If I haven't seen you yet, I'd like to see your hand so you have some accountability with this. Yes, God bless you, ma'am. You can put that down. Anybody else? So that's me. Yes, all the way up in the back, I see you. God bless you. Would everybody join me in standing right now? I'm going to lead us all in a prayer that's a confession of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to dismiss the service this way. We're going to go out singing a hymn like they did the night in which Jesus was betrayed. And we have communion set up for you here at the front. We have two tables at the front. There's a table in the balcony. There's two tables out in the lobby. So if you just kind of, you know, self-regulate yourselves as to the lines, you know, kind of like as you would do shopping, like that one's a little shorter, just do that. Let's pray together. And let's pray out loud together as a confession of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray a prayer that's very, very similar to the one that I prayed with my grandpa Kylie. Heavenly Father, I believe in you. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you lived a sinless life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and was buried. You rose again on the third day. That you're alive right now. The right hand of the Father in heaven. Praying for me. Please forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. I confess Jesus, Savior and Lord of my life. Today. I will follow you. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, there's a little space up here in the middle. Would you come up and just tell me that you prayed that prayer today and let me rejoice with you? Let me say happy Easter to you. God bless you. Would you begin to come now to the Lord's table all over the building and then go get your children, and we'll see you out in the lawn. Happy Easter. God bless you.